download.
Welcome to the Doyo Download. I am Suigyo Kyure, also known formerly as Suijin. I am co-hostless. I don't know where Inkaga is. And for those of you that have been here for the last half hour, I've had some technical difficulties, but those apparently are solved now. So this is going to be a shorter show, as today is Wife Appreciation Day. So as a rundown of the last half hour, when I am recording on Discord, I can normally hear myself in my left ear. If I think back now to what was going on, I couldn't hear myself at all in either ear, which is bad and should have been a clue, but I didn't think about it. So basically, I rambled on for about 10 to 15 minutes and didn't get anything recorded. So everything that I talked about before is gone. So that's unfortunate. Oh, thank you to everyone that is in channel here who put up with me. Chio Misato, Kaitetsu, Tetsu Usagi, Tetsuba, Hikusaru, and Maruwashi. Pardon me. All right. I was going to talk a little bit about the real life Basho. Basically, I'm going to cover the big bases. Your leader is Hokoto Fuji. Second place is Tamawashi. I probably should have done the spoiler alert beforehand. I'm sorry. If you haven't watched day 8, up to day 8, this is going to be spoiled for you, as I just did. The important part for me is Ura is still in the running. I am predicting at this point nobody who has 4 losses can win the Basho. It's a very broad, general prediction at this point. As close as I can get. But the winner will have no more than 3 losses. So there you go. With Inkaga, we were going to have Suijin's or Suigyukure retirement questionnaire for the Fighting Spirit magazine. Inazuma was going to give it to me. He couldn't be here as a journalist. So since Inkaga's not here, I will give it to myself. So, let's see here. I need to go to the questions. All right. The first question. What do you consider to be your greatest achievement of your career? Well, I would say that the greatest achievement of my career would be the Junyu show that I got, the 12-3 in the Basho that I had, I want to say, 5 Basho ago, maybe 4. It was a very good run for me, and it was something I focused on very hard to make sure that I was doing things very carefully to make sure that the focus was in the right spot and I wasn't worried about external factors, to concentrate really on just one bout at a time. Next, what was your favorite or most memorable Basho? I want to say that my most memorable Basho has to be the one where I was first Komosubi, where I fell from Sekiwaki and just down to Komosubi for the first time. And rather than succumbing to the Komusubi curse, I managed to pull out a Kachikoshi and really show that if you don't get yourself, you know, don't let yourself get down, you can avoid the curse or ignore the curse in the long run. Next, who do you consider to have been your biggest rival? For those that have been around on the server with me might point to Inazuma. And initially, I might have said Inazuma. However, if I really think about who my biggest rival would be, I would have to go. This includes Basho's, Junyo's, and Daigeko's. I would have to go with Tenoyama. Tenoyama and myself, neither one of us could get a solid advantage over the other. Anytime one of us got two or three bouts ahead of the other one would immediately make up the difference. We were both very even, and anytime we were matched in a Basho, I was immediately worried because it wasn't, I think I can beat this guy. It was, oh my God, I'm not in the position I need to beat this person. Now what do I need to do? And sometimes it worked in my favor and sometimes it didn't. And Tenoyama is someone that I could not formulate a solid tactic against. For those in the chat channel, I cannot see you at the moment. I'm looking at the... actually, I can do both. What am I doing? Oops. I'm using one screen and I should be using two. All right. Oh. Actually, Marawashi, you could take over asking the questions. Let me send them to you. Now that I've asked myself three questions. let me make the copy. I'll send them all to you, but question four is where we're going to need to start. So, copy. And then let me come back to activate your audio. You should be able to audio now.
Hello, test.
Hello.
Okay.
Are they standard questions?
I don't know if that's secret from the green room. But, well, yeah, we kind of decided that it would be a good idea to have a rough outline for the questions so that the interviews do not vary too much between all the retired interviews.
Gotcha.
But we have a little wiggle room there in the end, so... I might think of a question from the hip. Is this right? Okay, I don't know. Okay. When you say that Tenoyama was probably your biggest competitor, what do you think, or what do you think was your most memorable victory? Was it about against Tenoyama or someone else?
It wasn't Tenoyama. It was the one that sticks out the most was the first time I beat Daizetsu or Funka, because at the time it was Funka. Funka just seemed to be impenetrable at first. I mean, I couldn't get around the moves. And then when I finally got through, it seemed at that point that I had discovered something and perhaps made Funka a little bit worried about me, which seemed a little odd. But I did think about beating Okumizu the first time and several matches against Teneyama. But I mean, there were so many matches against Teneyama that were so close and so great that I would have a hard time picking just one against Teneyama. But Funka definitely sticks out.
Yeah, Funka definitely sticks out more than one way, that's for sure. But good to know that he was your the victory which sticked the most. But we all know that with each great victory, there comes great defeat too. So especially in sumo, defeat and victory very close. And so the next question would be if you can think of a of your greatest defeat or your most memorable defeat.
I guess the would fall into the most crushing defeat would have been, and I want to say it was against Akaibashi, would have been a like a nana show nana high for me go trying to get into the Sanyaku. Whereas Akaibashi did get into the Sanyaku at that point. I just needed a Kachikashi, and I got a Makakashi out of the deal. Oh, there's Inazuma. But it was a nice back and forth, and I couldn't tell you exactly which basho it happened in, but it would have been a basho where I was close to getting in and needing it, and I just got beaten out, and it just took me an extra basho to get in. But being crushed out, I'm pretty sure it was against Akaibashi, which everybody at that point then kind of files somebody in the back of their head with, "This is my new rival," or things like that, or, "This is the guy I want to beat."
Hey, so you do also remember the defeats. Very good.
Yes.
Good to hear. Another thing you maybe can tell us a little bit about is that we have, over the years, we had a lot of events, a lot of special events between Basho, Degeiko, or we had some special Basho too, which is the International Basho, for example. So, do you have a special memory about one of these events? Do you cherish one of these more than the others, or couldn't you decide if you have to?
Well, as far as Junyo goes, I am terrible at them. I've always been terrible at them. I don't know why. I've failed to make it into a final or late round into any of the Junyos, so I dislike all of the Junyos. But I mean, Degeiko has really allowed me to meet players or other people that I wouldn't have met, or meet them a lot earlier than I would have met them in the dojo. So I kind of always enjoy Degeiko because it allows me to face up against Juryo that eventually I would face in Makauchi, or take on Makushita, that would keep me kind of in the loop before I was doing this podcast to know what was going on down in the lower divisions, because I wasn't paying attention to what was going on in a division I wasn't in before this podcast. So Daigeko was always the opportunity for me to meet people and kind of get a sense of what's generally going on. And it's only been in the last year that I've had a hard time participating in things due to outside influences.
Okay. Now we turn to something else. And this time I want to know something about your regrets in your career. I don't know if everyone has some, but I'm pretty sure some people, when they look back at their past decisions, that they think they could have done better with hindsight or hindsight. Or they just straight out think that they were robbed of some chances. So, do you have any of these? Do you have regrets in regards to your career?
I do, and this relates to my comments earlier about my most memorable basho. The most memorable basho, I was concentrating on only the bout in front of me every single time. And even this even this past basho, I noticed myself doing it as I was doing it, that and I've done this many bashos where I'm looking at the whole block of bouts rather than just paying attention to the person in front of me. So I'm looking at the score I need to come out with rather than just paying attention to the bout. So that has removed the solid focus that I needed to really put forward the effort towards my opponent that I needed to. And regretfully, that has allowed the opponents to use the strategies against me, whereas I haven't been able to turn it around and use strategies against them. The basho that I had, the Junyu show, I didn't do that. I was 100% focused on only the person in front of me, and only towards the very end was I realizing I've only got three losses. And I mean, this is, I'm still in the Yusho hunt, so it's a matter of changing how I play for the future.
Okay. I think it's a good thing that when one chapter ends and another chapter starts, that we don't spend too much time on the regrets, because even though it's a bittersweet day, because one chapter is closing, we should focus on the good things and that were in the past and in the future. So after this short excursus to the regrets, we are going to think of some other memories of yours, or better, let me articulate it differently, on some more optimistic questions. We will concentrate on some more optimistic questions right now. So for one, I'd like to know something really special. Do you have any words for advice for young Rikishi who are just starting the journey? Or perhaps do you have some tips and tricks for veterans who are trying to break into the Joie or Sanyaku?
Starting out, you really have to just kind of figure out what kind of style you want and build your stats based on that. So it's really up to taste at that point. But for those trying to break into the Joie or the Sanyaku, Looking at the regrets, pay attention to just the person you're facing. Don't worry about your record. Forget about the record entirely. You fight the rikishi in front of you. And then if you have any history facing those rikishi, figure out what they're commonly doing against you and try to play against that. Or if you know that they commonly have, for instance, against Okumizu, if they commonly counter you, try to throw as much unpredictability into it as possible to screw up their plans to move forward, because God knows you need more than luck to get into Sekiwaki, and definitely more than luck to get to Ozaki.
That's for sure. I believe so too, but you had a great career, so it definitely wasn't only luck there. You had some great tactics and great plans in your backhand or in your sleeve, a good card in your sleeve. When we take a look at the whole career, then it's pretty obvious that there were highs and lows, and it would be a very good material, for example, for a film or a movie. Who do you think would play the lead role in a movie about the life of Suijin?
I'm grateful that the questions were sent to me ahead of time so I could think about this one. But I think that Benedict Wong should be the one, because I could get some personality out of it, because early on, those that knew me know I'm a bit quirky and tend to do some weird stuff once in a while. And Benedict Wong can do the quirky as well as get to the serious when needed, since he's been both Wong, the Sorcerer Supreme, and Kublai Khan from the Netflix series. So it's I think he's got the range to do it, and he's also got the size to do it. So he's about the right size for Suijin.
Okay, maybe with a special guest appearance from Doctor Strange here or there in the audience.
Yeah.
Something like that. Or
a multiversal appearance, yeah.
Multiversal appearance, yeah. You throw one of your opponents into one of the portals and they will never be seen again. Would be a cool twist to the movie, I'm sure. Yeah, before we kind of wrap it up, we knew that you tried to connect with your fans via podcast, via text, via messages you wrote on the server and stuff like that. So I'm pretty sure that the connection to your fans was very important in your career. So is there anything you like to say to them right now?
I'm glad that there were fans. I mean, that's it's always nice to have. And I'm hoping that those fans will be there when I get back, because I needed a break. I needed a refresher. And there is actually a bigger reason for this refresher than just taking some time off. And I'm hoping that when I get back, things will be as exciting or more exciting, because I've got some big plans.
That sounds very exciting. As always, before we finish this interview, I'd like to get another question, a little bit off script right now. There was a news story in the past week that there is an all-female mariachi band which advances Mexican tradition in Colorado, and so I was wondering if there is any tradition in sumo or in Roto-Yokozuna or in your everyday life that you would like to advance a little bit or change up a little bit, where you like, where you would say, hey, we could spice it up a little bit or move ahead.
Wow. I had not heard the mariachi band story. That's very interesting. I don't know that there's any tradition that sticks out, personally. Nothing comes to mind. The only thing that I do a lot of traditional that I enjoy a lot of tradition in is the sumo, and I'm pretty sure I like the balance of the sumo tradition that there is right now, so I wouldn't want to add more to slow things down. And I don't like the idea of changing a whole lot, except maybe lowering the dojo a little bit to avoid as many injuries as there are.
That's a very good tradition to move ahead.
Yeah.
It's always good to look out for health of the rikishi, so I think that counted a very good answer, so thank you for that.
I'm also of the opinion that maybe instead of lowering the dojo, maybe you just make the dojo like longer, or make the square bigger, so that when you get pushed out, there's more of a runway that goes too, so that they don't, fall immediately off the edge.
Kind of a middle ground between the positions on lowering it and not lowering it could be very good. Okay, then I thank you very much for your time and very much for your answers. We are all looking ahead. I'm sure I speak for all of us when I say we're looking ahead what you are going to do in your next chapter on this on your road to Yokozuna. And I cannot wait to see and to hear what you have planned. So thank you very much again. Thank you for your time, your patience, and I see you very soon.
Thank you. And just as a little teaser, I didn't do any lore building with Suijin. None. I didn't. I gave the basic info, where he's from. I didn't give a real name. Just introduced him and built him up and went from there. Not because of any plan or anything. I didn't want to build any lore around him. My new Rikishi, that's part of why I'm taking as much time off as I am, is that I'm building lore. I'm building a background, and they will come with pre-built images and whatnot, as I am working on all kinds of stuff, because I want this one to be fully formed. And I'm planning, barring anything terrible happening, to have this Rikishi go the distance. Because this Rikishi will be a Yokozuna. So, with all my technical problems earlier this episode, or earlier today, don't have a whole lot of extra time here. And thanks, Marawashi, for jumping in so that I wasn't asking myself all the questions, because I wouldn't have come up with the spur of the moment stuff. But I'm not enduring you. You grace us with your beautiful voice. Beautiful. So, this week, yes, I will not stop it. This week, it'll be a little bit shorter. I think it's going to run a half hour this time. I'll double check. Yeah, it's going to run about a half hour this time. But hopefully Inkaga will show up. Tyler, I don't know where he went. He's showing online, but I mean, he could be at a race or something. And we'll figure that out from there. But if you want to get a hold of me, on the server, you can still tag Suijin, Suijin, because I believe it'll still pop up. But to spell Suigyo Kure, It's Suigyokurei. I know that's a lot. My actual handle in Discord is, in general, is Emerald Spectre. So, I mean, I think if you type that, it also brings me up, if that makes things easier. You can find the podcast. The source where I upload everything is emeraldspectre.com. You can email me, emeraldspectre.com@gmail.com. And this is the official Road to Yokozuna podcast, and we are always trying to make things better. I would have done more on the official Basho, and we'll cover more as the Basho, as the Aki Basho will be over next time I podcast. So we will have a rundown of things, and we can go over some of the highlights, like the Kinbashi Ura had, which, because of the audio issues earlier, I didn't delve into because nothing was recording. So it was unfortunate. Yeah, Toby Zaro had one too. But I'm all into Ura. Ura. And Tamawashi. Tamawashi also got a Kibashi. So thank you for joining me here, everybody. And I will see you next time. Oh, you like normal, you won't hear the audio, the exit, but I will. And we will see you next time on the Doyo Download.